The scripture reading this morning for Pentecost is Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 will begin with verse 1. When Pentecost day arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other languages that the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans, every one of them? How then can each of us hear them speaking in our native languages? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, as well as the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the regions of Libya, bordering Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the mighty works of our God in our own languages." They were all surprised and bewildered. Some of them asked each other, "What does this mean?" Others jeered at them, saying, "They're full of new wine." Peter stood with the other 11 apostles. He raised his voice and declared, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. These people are not drunk as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness, and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day of the Lord comes. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There is just something about fire that captures your attention. You're going to turn aside. You can't help it. God seems to know that. When God wanted to attract the attention of Moses in the Old Testament, God lights a fire, a bush that was burning but was not consumed. Moses turned aside and asked himself, what does it mean? When God pours out the Holy Spirit upon the believers in the New Testament, God lights a fire. Tongues of fire rested upon the heads of the believers, sons and daughters, young and old. Those standing nearby turned aside. They asked one another, what does it mean? Today, as we think about Pentecost, hearing again the description that took place, imagine the sound of the mighty rushing wind. Picture the tongues of fire that rested upon the heads of all the believers. Think about the miracle of languages. Just as Moses turned aside, just as those gathered in Jerusalem turned aside, let us turn aside. Let us take time out from whatever it is we're doing. Let us turn toward the fire that continues to burn and is not consumed. Let us turn aside and ask, what does it mean? If Pentecost means anything, it means that God's Spirit is active and moving. It means that we as believers can get caught up in the moving of that Spirit. It means that we are part of a community that has been set afire. It means that we can be part of something that we cannot create, something we cannot control. The manifestations which accompany the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost tell us the Spirit is a powerful force, like a mighty wind, like a fire that's been set loose in the world. The message is that the presence of the Spirit may be disruptive, disturbing sedentary lives with which we have become familiar and comfortable. The picture portrays the Spirit as moving in unexpected and unpredictable ways. We are to see the Spirit as a rush of new, innovative, creative, not yet seen or heard experiences. We are given the sense that the Spirit is uncontainable by structures, be they physical or social. The Spirit in our midst may be best explained as, well, great cosmic power in an itty-bitty living space. Pentecost tells us that it is a new day. No longer does God's warning to Moses apply. Moses stood at a distance from the burning bush, being warned to come no closer, watching this miracle of fire as he heard the voice of God. In the Pentecost story, this fire rests on each disciple individually. They are no longer spectators. They are partakers, sharers of the fire. The fire was not a spectacle to be observed, but a part of who they are now. The energy of the Spirit becomes their energy. They catch fire. Not catch, as in a sense that they have it in their hands or under their power, but rather that they are now caught up in the burning of the fire themselves. There's always a mystery beyond what may be comprehended or explained when it comes to the Spirit. Mystery to which the psalmist says more and more people are abandoning themselves. This abandoning themselves to the mystery is what ignites the power of the Spirit within the lives of the believers at Pentecost. Moses saw a burning bush. That wasn't too unusual. It was not out of the ordinary. It was the fact that the bush continued to burn but was not consumed. Does the fire of Pentecost continue to burn? Are we caught up in the ever-burning and moving of the Spirit? How do we catch fire? One thing that is important in being caught up in the burning of fire is proximity. If we are to catch fire, we must be in a proximity with that which is burning. It's a thought that is captured in a story by Robert Fulghum, in which a man who had been sleeping on a burning bed is rescued. When asked how the bed caught on fire, the man responded by saying, "I don't know. It was on fire when I laid down on it." What do you do when you see the burning and moving of the Spirit? Do you ever turn aside to see what it means? Or are you part of the self-appointed fire brigade that, upon seeing a fire burning, do all that you can to dump cold water on it as quickly as possible? Because, after all, a spark left untended could spread. When you see the spark of the Holy Spirit beginning to burn, do you turn aside to see what it means? Do you approach, warming yourself, awaiting for the spark that is within you to ignite, to catch you up in the burning, for your own spirit to combust spontaneously? Have you caught fire? Pentecost reveals that there are days, the days of the prophets are now gone, and the Spirit has come upon all of us, not one person at a time, as in the days of the prophet. Now the Spirit makes its move upon an entire community. The fire rests upon each head, almost as a rite of initiation, binding the believers together in unity. There is nothing that will connect a community like a common burning, a common passion, burning together. It is one thing to know that something burns in you, that you have caught fire. It is a whole other thing to realize with amazement that that which burns in you burns in others as well, others who are caught up in the same burning. The message of Pentecost is that we, the church, are a community that has been set on fire by the burning of the one and same Holy Spirit. In 2016, Disney produced a remake of the 1967 movie, The Jungle Book. That's still not enough to make me like the premise of that story, but good enough to use in a sermon. In the movie, the jungle animals call fire the red flower. Mowgli, the man cub, goes to the Man village to retrieve fire in order to intimidate Shere Khan. When he does, he realizes this thing will die if it does not have things to eat. That is to ask, how do we kindle the fire of the Spirit that burns within us, within our community? It is a matter of proximity again. We must stay close to that which is on fire, to the Spirit that is always burning, and we must tend the spark of the Spirit that burns within us. Prayer, meditation, worship, compassion are all exercises that feed the fire and keep it alive within you. Fellowship, service to and with one another, the practices of forgiveness, sharing, inclusion, the discernment of which way the wind of the Spirit is blowing within the community are all things that feed the fire of the Spirit in our congregation. By all means, never grab a bucket, dump cold water on the fire of the Spirit burning in our midst. We must catch fire, and we must feed it and keep it burning. Included in my morning prayers every day, and as I light the altar candles for worship, is a blessing of fire written by Christine Walters Painter that keeps me mindful of feeding the fire. Spirit of fire, you revealed yourself through the burning bush in the fiery courage of Pentecost. Fiery Spirit, source of all creative power, kindle your holy spark within me. Breathe into me your sacred passion. Fill me with your flame until I have become fire, offering warmth and light in the world. Spirit of refining fire, help me to release what no longer serves me, to make room for your light to fill me. Blessing of fire be upon me. May the light of God illuminate me, and may the flame of love burn brightly. May I discover this new day, my own hidden fire, and enter it fully. In the Jungle Book movie, the jungle animals know that fire is something humans can create and that animals cannot. No creature in the jungle will call fire by its proper name. Every beast lives in deadly fear of it and invents 100 ways of describing it. Because the animals cannot create or control it, they're scared of it. I've been part of things that could only be explained by the mystery of a moving, burning spirit. No doubt you have too. Things that make you just stand back and wonder how that ever worked out. Things that you can't explain. Things that you would never have imagined. Things that were well on fire. Things that cause all who see it to turn aside and ask, what does it mean? How did it happen? Things that leave you only able to say, that was on fire when I laid down on it. Things to which, like Peter, you can only say, it's not what you think. It is the presence and working of the Holy Spirit. What does it mean? It means that the fire of the Spirit is yet ablaze. It means that it burns within us and among us. It means that the Spirit continues to be poured out upon all of us as believers. It means Pentecost has come again. Amen.